Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Wade Butler, Chaplain for the Republics of the United States of America. I just want to encourage you and thank you for being here tonight. I know that we have been doing what we call the banquet table for some time now. And the Lord said, I'm making a little bit of shift. We're not going to just make it a ladies' night. We're going to have intermittent. It's not going to be one particular Monday. There's going to be ladies dispersed throughout the different calls, different jobs, teaching, preaching, praying, bringing words of knowledge along the way. But he said, take it back to a republic call. It's going to be about the republic, not men or women. It's about me and my kingdom. And I said, all right, Lord. I said, I could call it a kingdom call, but then it confuses us with the Jehovah's Witness voice. And we're not going to do that, but we're going to continue doing what you called us to do and press in. And that's where we are. You know, I'm going to talk about a couple things real quick, and then April has got a word to share. And April, you have full freedom. You can either bring what you posted, or you can bring whatever the Lord put on your heart, as always, and I've told you that before. And I'll talk about this year for a minute. You know, years ago I had a stroke, and I was put on a medication. I was just talking about that particular medication. It's called gabapentin. I tried five different drugs to deal with neuropathy of the burning of my leg from the stroke. And, you know, have I totally been recovered? No, but I am healed. It's just that I'm not fully manifest yet. But there was a side effect of the drug, two things that just everybody really wants in their life. And I had to take 1,200 milligrams. I take four tablets a day. I couldn't go to sleep without taking them. And that was, you gain weight in the midsection, so I gained 40 pounds, all in my belly. And I said, this is not, you know, there's nothing I can do about it, and you start losing your hair. I said, oh, that's, everybody wants that. Male or female, doesn't make any difference. You know, that's what would happen to you. So I said, Lord, I got to get off this thing, and I've been able to wean off of it now, thanks to something that he brought to me. And it's kind of like this year, okay? And so I'm going to give you an example. You know, this is the year, and it was out of Veronica West, which was actually Saturday's word in the calendar. And it's talking about, for those of you that read it, you'll get a little repeat, but those of you that don't read it, you're going to get a little quick little lesson. This year, 24, the prayer warrior is going to rise. Well, many of us on this call understand that. And they're going to shine, and they're going to roar, and they're going to reign. It's going to be his glory. He says, it's going to be the door opening that leads to a greater manifestation of the kingdom reformation. Now, you say, he said some negative side effects. Well, a lot of people will look at this and say, Lord, we can't handle this anymore. But it actually takes you to the next level. He says, because he's going to restore in the midst of the greater awakening, a greater harvest. Yet there's going to be a greater war. Now, most of us would say we've had enough war. We've been through it. We've got the T-shirts, the hats, the banners, the flags. We've had enough war. We have stood and fought and fought and prayed and prayed and believed, and we haven't seen we haven't seen the blessing. We haven't seen the promises. And Lord, but the Lord says, you know, watch. Watch what's getting ready to happen. Don't be afraid. Because I'm coming, and I'm coming with my mighty army. Now, I don't know, I think it was last part of September, we saw in an open vision, I saw the armies of the Lord, and there was a bunch of us together, and Matt and John and Sharon and some others that we have a specific once a month prayer night, and we were calling out and said, Lord, why is it so hot? Why is it so quiet in heaven? Nobody was making a sound, the angels, the hosts, witnesses, nobody. And we're standing around looking and we're seeing all this incredible armies. You can't count the numbers. And he says, all of earth, my sons and daughters, is waiting for me to do something. I went, yes, Lord. He says, up here we're waiting for them to do something. Got my attention. I said, Lord, what do we do more? We're praying, we're calling out, we're standing, and he says, are you taking the authority I've given you? Are you making the declarations and the decrees? Because it's time that you rise up. It's time that you rise up and prepare for battle, because the battle is mine, but it's up to you to take the authority that I've given you to go do it. I said, oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, Lord, Lord. The enemy is coming in like a flood, but you said you're going to raise up an authority and position like never before. You're going to raise up through your sons and daughters and do that which needs to be done. You're going to bring about divine recompense. You're going to bring about divine justice. And for the last week, I've had an article a day on divine justice coming. That the Lord is cutting the toxic ties. He's destroying the work of the enemy. He's shifting everything that's going on from that which the enemy is doing to that which he's doing. He's exposing. So this is the hour that you're going to have to go and break the ties that the enemy has gotten you tied down with. Sometimes it's going to be associations. Some things it's going to be work. Some things it's going to be ministry. Some things it's going to cause problems, but you're going to have to stand, because I'm calling you to a new level, a new place. And I said, Lord, all right, where are you calling us? He says, you're going to have to go deeper. I said, I didn't think I could go any deeper unless I went straight into hell. He says, I'm going to have to take you deeper so you can come up higher. You're going to have to spend more time in prayer. You're going to have to undergird. You're going to have to decree. You're going to have to declare. You're going to have to watch and listen, because I'm about to do something that has not ever been done. And there's a deliverance that's getting ready to take place for the nations. And that deliverance is going to cause shakings in every corner of the world, because I'm uncovering everything that's been hidden. Well, I don't know about you folks. I immediately went into prayer and asked for forgiveness, because there's still things in my life that I don't particularly want exposed in the newspapers or blasted out. You know, I was not a nice guy. I could come off as a nice guy, but I wasn't a nice guy. I was very selfish, self-motivated. And I said, Lord, you know, cleanse us, wash us, renew us, revive us, strengthen us, help us. But that which is exposed is that of the enemy. And he said, I'm coming for the enemy. I'm coming for the enemy, my children. I'm coming for the enemy, my kingdom. And I'm coming for my enemies. Because what I'm about to do is do a deep work. And I said, well, Lord, you told me to go deeper so I could come up higher. And he said, that's right. He says, I'm going to break the mixture out of you. I'm going to cleanse your blood. I'm going to redeem you. I'm going to pull out the dysfunctions and the conflicts and the assignments that have been trying to hold you down. My blood is going to undo every evil work and wickedness that lies around you that has kept you and your family in bondage for generations. I'm going to rescue you and your family from the pits of hell, where you didn't even know there was still a hook. Every toxic tie, alignment, and covenant that is not of me is going to be exposed even in your own lives. But at the same time, you're going to pray. And I said, well, what am I going to pray? He says, you're going to pray for people. Because as they get exposed, they're going to fall. And the weeping and the bitterness and the heartache and the gnashing of the teeth is going to be great. And you're going to pray for mercy. I said, even the wicked. And he says, you're going to pray even for the wicked. I said, Lord. And he says, many are going to be saved. The greatest revival of all time is getting ready to break forth. And he says, you're going to hear continued cry of the voices, lifting up their supplications and pleas and cries and needs and their hearts being broken because of all that has come out, where they were deceived by the system, the wickedness, the cruelty, the dysfunction. And he says, you're going to do the same thing they're going to cry out for. They're going to cry out for mercy, and you're going to cry out for justice. And he says, you know what the greatest justice there is? And I said, no, Lord, I don't. He says, my mercy. That took my breath away. I said, your greatest justice is your mercy? He says, yeah, my mercy. He says, I'm going to have mercy on the nations. I'm going to have mercy on many that seemed unredeemable. He says, so don't be surprised who shows up. Don't be surprised who calls out. Just lift your eyes up to me and turn your heart unto me. And do what I told you to do. Take the authority, the position, and the promise that I've given. And watch what I'm about to do. I said, Lord, so many times I've prayed for the financial breakthrough, because that's my job. I'm in that arena to bring the financial breakthrough for so many people. And he says, that's going to come. The recompense is here. It's with me. It's with my justice. I said, Lord, you know, forgive me for all the times I prayed for the wrong things. Help me to line up with what you want instead of what I want. Help me to do and be what you want me to be rather than what I want to be. Grant unto me mercy. Grant unto me your great love, your mercy, your justice, because you took it. And therefore, that was the great mercy. You took everything. And he says this. He says, tell the people that John the Baptist is one standing up again, and the angels are calling out what he says. And I said, what is that, Lord? And he says, I'm the voice of one calling in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord. Go get ready. You tell Texas and all around you to get ready, because there's a purification and a cleansing coming upon the land. Texas and many other states have been marked, consecrated to carry out and steward the glory that I'm bringing. My outpouring, will cause a ripple effect across the nation, because out of Texas will come voices crying, make straight the path, the way of the Lord. And revival is going to break forth throughout the country and out throughout the nations and the First Nations. And I'm going to bring about that which I promised. And my authority is going to travel with me and with out of the mouths of my sons and daughters. And you're going to hear a great wailing. But you're also going to hear a great lifting up of tongues and the sounds of war and frequency and light and my glory being released. Have I not told you to release my glory? I said, yes, Lord, you did. He says, go release it. He says, you've seen hundreds fall. He says, now you're going to see thousands fall. But they'll fall under the light of my glory. I said, Lord, we're coming. We're coming. We're coming, Lord, and we're going to release the promise that you've called us to do. Help us to fulfill our destinies and walk in your promise and your glory in Yeshua's name. So that's my prayer for us tonight. Help us, O Lord, to fulfill the call, the promise, and walk in your glory this night. Help us to be that which we're supposed to be, that you would be glorified, and that we would walk under the light of your glory. And I thank you for it, and I bless you for it. In Yeshua's precious name, amen and amen. Glory, glory. I told her I was going to do this tonight. So Sharon, I'm calling upon you because two of my favorite ladies, and there's all of you, I love you all, but two of my favorite ladies walk in a place that sometimes angels fear to tread, I think. But that's Sharon and April, and they happen to be together tonight on the call. So Sharon, introduce our speaker tonight, will you? And lift up a prayer in the process.
Can you repeat that, please, Wade? I was in the kitchen with the fan on.
I said, introduce our guest.
Yes.
And lift.
Yes, yes. Oh, Lord, I just thank you for the time that we get to gather together and just hear a fresh revelation, a fresh word. I thank you for April Clausen Brown, Lord, the gift that she is to this phone call and the gift that she is to the world. Lord, I thank you that I just feel like when she was born, you wrapped a big old beautiful bow around her and presented her to the world as a wonderful gift. And Lord, I thank you for the word that she's bringing tonight. So what I want to do is just introduce my beloved sister in the faith. And I want to just acknowledge that it's not to set anybody apart or set anybody aside, but I was thinking about it very strongly, how April hears so clearly and how she follows the directions and how she's led by the Spirit. And I believe in my heart it's because that she is 100% Cree, not just the First Nations tribe, but 100%. And I know that in the Bible, that's what God wanted to try to, that's what he wanted to keep, was that bloodline, that strong bloodline. And April bears that, carries that. And so she walks in a deep place in the spirit, and I'm always excited to hear what she has to say. All the way from Canada, please welcome April Clausen Brown.
Good evening, everybody. Blessings. I'm glad that we're here today. I'm glad that the Spirit of the Lord is with us. And so if you've got your Bibles, I'm just going to get right into it. Or you can just read the thing that we have in the document that Wade sends out every month. But I'm going to be speaking out of Mark chapter 7, 24 to 37. Now, if anybody has had an opportunity to read the devotional or the writing for today and had an opportunity to listen to that link that I have up there, you know, it was a revelation to me and an answer to a prayer that I was seeking the Lord on. I just want to step back just for a quick second. Sharon said something about 100%, and I'm just going to speak about just, I just feel like the Lord is having me, yeah, thank you, Lord. Yes, I am 100%, and where I hit most of my calls and prior to the last few months, I've been living down on the west coast of Canada, down near Vancouver. Actually, I was living in Vancouver, British Columbia. But I felt like I needed to shift just temporarily and ask the Holy Spirit, you know, where that should be. And as I do, I was born up in Saskatchewan, northern Saskatchewan, the reservation that I was born on. Did not grow up there, but where I was born on, is called Thunder Child First Nation. Thunder Child, that's a pretty strong name. But the reason that I felt to come back here for a season of time, you know, with the permission and blessing of my husband and also the Holy Spirit, was because this is my territory. And being 100%, I have discovered in the time that I've been here, I believe that the Lord was allowing me to be here so that I could come and hear him better. It's almost, and I've mentioned this to Wade a few times, coming back to my burning bush, because this is where the Lord first began to speak to me about my nation and about the things that he wanted to do, not just through our First Nation or even myself, but really just through First Nations, and yet again also the wholeness of the body of Christ, because we're, as per Acts 17, we are one blood. You know, I don't differentiate myself except for the authority that I have, perhaps, but on the land, but we are one blood. We have Yeshua, HaMashiach's blood flowing through our veins. Anyways, now we're going to come back to this. I'm going to just start reading, so I'm going to start from verse 24 here. And we had been on a prayer call, and this particular scripture had come to our, you know, we were reading it. And so, okay, so verse 24, and Yeshua arose and went away from there to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And he went to a house and did not want anyone to know that he was there. But it was not possible for him to be hidden from public notice. Instead, at once a woman whose little daughter was under the control of an unclean spirit heard about him, came and flung himself down at her feet. Now the woman was a Greek, a Gentile, a Syrophoenician by nationality. And she kept begging him to drive the demon out of her little daughter. And he said to her, first, let the children be fed, for it is not becoming or proper or right to take the children's bread and throw it to the little house dogs. But she answered him, "Yes, Lord, yet even the small pups under the table eat the little children's scraps of food." And he said to her, "Because of the saying, you may go your way. The demon has gone out of your daughter permanently." And she went home and found the child thrown on the couch, and the demon departed. Soon after this, Yeshua, coming back from the region of Tyre, passed through Sidon onto the Sea of Galilee through the region of Decapolis. Decapolis means the 10 cities. And they brought him, and they brought to him a man who was deaf and had difficulty in speaking. And they begged Yeshua to place his hand on him. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, he thrust his ears into the man's ears, spat, and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed as he said, "Ephphatha," which means "be opened." And his ears were opened, his tongue was loose, and he began to speak distinctly as he should. And Yeshua, in his own interest, admonished and ordered them sternly and expressly to tell no one. But the more he commanded them, the more that zealously they proclaimed it. And they were overwhelmingly astonished, saying, "He has done everything excellently, commendably, and nobly. He even makes the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak." Now, before I go on, I just want to make sure, does everybody hear me okay? Because I'm kind of doing things a little bit differently phone-wise today.
Yeah, you're fine, April.
Okay, thank you so much. Okay, so the portion that I want to look at, from verse 33, I don't know how many people have ever wondered that. You know, how come he took him aside? How come he thrust his fingers into the man's ears and spat and touched his tongue? Well, back in those times, they believed that, and I guess it's still a belief, but in those times they believed, was their belief, their cultural belief, that spit was healing. And so Jesus was taking this man, first of all, aside, away from the crowd, and just privately honoring this man, giving him some dignity, and doing what was the custom. So he, you know, and this is where the spitting and then touching his tongue and so on and so forth. So that was, he was just releasing healing. But now, what was going on in my mind here as I was reading Mark 34 and 35 and looking up, he sighed and said, "Ephphatha," which means he opened, and his ears were open, his tongue was loosed. Now, I'm not going to go through this entire thing, but I wanted specifically to speak about that word. So I'm going to just zoom down, and I began to inquire about the Lord, or with the Lord, about what the significance, first of all, of the sigh was. But before I get there, the Holy Spirit began to talk to me, and as I was listening, he said, "I want you to..."
Archie went away. We lost both connection of her and Sharon. John, is that correct, what you have also?
Yeah, hopefully Sharon will come back in with her, that she sees that she dropped off. Or I can try to bring her back in if you'd like.
You might try and see what...
I think Sharon's back here. Let's see. Yeah, Sharon's okay. Back. All okay. Right, we got April back.
All right. Okay. Thank you. So, Father, we just take authority over this phone call. We just say, Father, we thank you for the angels of the Lord that are going to keep it open and just let me get through, and anybody else to get through what we need to tonight. And so, as I was saying, the Holy Spirit, I began to ask the Holy Spirit, I've jumped down a bit now into this thing. I've asked the Holy Spirit what he wanted to say regarding this. And the Holy Spirit told me to look up the name Mark and the author of the book. And this name comes from the Roman name Mars, who was the god of war. And I thought, well, that's an, you know, I was kind of like, oh, yeah. But I thought it was a little unusual. Why would I look up the name Mark? Then the Lord said, it instructs me to look at the seventh chapter and verses 3 and 4. Well, 3 plus 4 equals 7, the number 7 being completion, done, no more, finished. And so what he was showing me was that there was 1 7 for deafness and 1 7 for dumbness or loosing of the tongue. So when the Lord spoke to this man, even the name of the book and the verses and these numbers, it was like the Lord had total authority. I mean, when doesn't he have total authority? But he was showing me that there was a stop. It was a done, absolutely done. No more deafness, no more dumbness. And so I began I just looked up a definition of tongues because that was sitting in my spirit. And the Oxford, because it says here, loosing of tongues. And so even the word tongues has a few meanings as defined by the Oxford Dictionary. So, one, the fleshy muscular organ in the mouth of a mammal used for tasting, licking, swallowing, or in humans articulating speech. Number two, a person's style or manner of speaking. And then there's a third one, and it says third person present, tongues. Well, under that is music. It says here, a sound, a note, distinctly on a wind instrument by interrupting the airflow with the tongue. And that is what really caught my attention. It says here, does this last description of tongues not sound like worship? For instance, let this revelation sink in. Yeshua wasn't just healing and sighing about it, because it was a sigh that got me. Yeshua was pushing away everything, clearing the atmosphere, setting a spiritual lightning rod over this man who required healing, spiritual freedom, and released him back into his primary blueprint, which was to worship. Now, I'm just going to go back because I feel like I missed something here. And it's in that clip, that the YouTube clip, if you haven't heard it. It speaks, it's Richard Rohr, who is speaking about the breath of God, the breath of Yahweh. And they say, and he says in there, that it's such a sacred name that people were forbidden, biblical scholars were forbidden to even use that word. It was just a word we could not use. Yet this Richard Rohr, as he's in this very short clip, essentially is saying that from the time we are born, the inhalation and exhalation of what we do in breathing is the very name of Yahweh. So when we're born, we inhale, and then when our last breath is released from us, you know, we exhale it out. But every day, as we're even sitting here, and we do it without realizing it. We are breathing in and we're breathing out, and we're releasing the name of Yahweh. And so what this portion in verse 34, the sign part, was about was that Yeshua was breathing in and out, releasing the fullness of the power of the Godhead in this territory over this man, over this deaf and dumb spirit. So in this particular, as I said, the bigger picture was that Yeshua was not only showing he had the authority and ability to heal, but to displace or make a way by clearing the atmosphere, showing his power over the territory or tutelary spirits in the area of those 10 cities. How many know that, like, in one small town, you may have, one principality, primarily of that, but you got an area of 10 cities, you got like, multiple upon multiple spirits that are in that area. And to the Romans, the Greek deity over the area was a god of war, Mars. And so further down as we go, Yeshua is releasing the name, the power of the name above every other name in that sky. And this is the part that for me, it was as though, when the light bulb comes on, that revelation of the Holy Spirit is what hit me at that moment. Because it says that Yeshua said he released the power of himself and the Godhead in that side, completely superseding the authority any deity had over any subjects in that territory. And then he said the word, Ephatha, be opened. So he cleared the spiritual pathway, and the impediments of the deaf and dumb were immediately loosed and freed. And he had done, just prior to that, there was the man also, the man from who had legion in him, and that man, came and granted Jesus, and even in the midst of all his possession, he had enough of him, of the spirit, he had enough to run and beg for mercy to be free from the grip of the enemy. And as I've been praying, that's ultimately what I'm hearing. Like Wade was saying, mercy before. Mercy. God has such mercy that we won't know until we get to heaven who is there because of mercy. Because in spite of what they were done, the Lord can open up. And it's like I've prayed many times, Father, give people a fighting chance against the enemy that we don't know what he's done. And so as soon as the grip of that spirit was opened, the captive was immediately set free. And so as we've been on the, even here, we've been praying over our families. We've been praying for people that are in our spheres. We've been praying for releasing, the power of the Holy Spirit for miracles and signs and wonders. We've just been releasing everything we can so that the harvest can come in according to the will of the Lord, according to the heart of the Father. And so in this, in the Spirit, the ancient God of war, I believe, as we've been praying, that the Lord has, we don't always see how the Lord functions. We don't always see how the Holy Spirit functions behind, a spiritual veil. But our God never sleeps. The Holy Spirit never sleeps. The angels never sleep. They're constantly for us, acting on our behalf and setting free and moving things, removing things, shifting things, and then allowing us to have revelation of these things so that we can continue to pray into, but also utilize some of the things that we read in the scripture, but also what we receive through revelation. And so what I felt to say, and I just keep kind of scrolling past my thing here, which I apologize for because it sounds a little disjointed, perhaps. But I believe that we've been invited to do the same, that what Yeshua gave us is an example. And the one thing that I've noticed in how the Holy Spirit has allowed me to operate is that there are people who give words. There are people who receive revelation and they give those words out, and I read those words. But when I'm praying and I ask the Lord, I get the how-tos. That's what I feel that the Lord has enabled me to do, is the how-to, and do a practical walking out of that. And so this is what I am feeling, that the Holy Spirit is allowing us to walk through this evening. And what I'd like to say is that for, you know, our primary purpose, aside just from being God's family, our primary purpose, our original blueprint from before the beginning, you know, before the beginning of even when Lucifer was created, our Father had us in his heart. We were, you know, as some people say, even, you know, they're little chunky, oh, they were a twinkle in, you know, their dad's eye. Well, I believe we were a twinkle in our father's eye. We were birthed out of his heart, is what he told me. That I birthed you out of my heart and I spoke you into existence out of my lips of love. And I'm like, Daddy, what an amazing way to tell me that, because I know that I know. And when people hear and experience that they know that they know, that they were loved from the moment that they entered your mind and your heart, and that you loved them so much you spoke them into existence, and you had an original plan for them, and their original plan really was to worship, that we were to worship. We were created to worship him. And we're going to spend all eternity doing that. We're going to have like many, many, many great expressions of worship. And there are many great expressions of worship, from dancing to, it's not just singing. Just sitting at his feet is worship. Just wanting to hear him is worship. Just being quiet, even though it might be really frustrating. I don't hear anything today, Father. I'm not hearing your voice, but just that act and the desire to sit there and wait to hear a word is worship. And so we can say, well, hey, I'm not a really good singer. That doesn't really matter. What matters is your heart. And I'm speaking this, I feel right now, to somebody who may listen down the line, that they're going, well, what can I do? You know, I don't particularly maybe have physical abilities to worship. Maybe I don't feel like I can do worship like other people do worship. Well, we're not supposed to. We're supposed to worship the way the Lord created us to worship. And he's given each of us an ability to just come to him. And so I just want to say here that I'd like to walk through a process, and I just want to speak out, especially those who are impeded in some way. Maybe you were, and I feel this is important. It has to do with healing of either throat issues, healing of even tongue issues, healing of ear issues, you know, just that whole area, your head, mouth, tongue. Who knows, maybe it's sinuses. Maybe there's somebody on this call who has something along that line. For me, I have, you know, have had, and I'm declaring that that's going to be healed. But I've had thyroid issues. They took 90% of my thyroid away. I was a singer before, and, you know, there's times that my voice just gets so low that even my mother, if you can imagine that, since I'm a man when I'm calling her, who is it? I'm like, Mom, it's just me. But anyway, I believe that the Lord wants to heal. And so I believe it's time to resist the Holy Spirit healing by our spoken words in agreement over those that the Lord is now bringing to our mind. And I'm just going to ask, Father, that you would release, Holy Spirit, you release into our spirits now those people that you're putting into us, whether it be ourselves, how to receive that for ourselves, but we receive that for those that are that you're putting into our minds, whether it be close friends or family or somewhere down the line, Lord God, that some person has come across our path and you've brought them to our mind. But I also believe that we're going to release this over our nation. And the reason that I believe that we're going to release this over our nation is simply because there are people, if their ears are not open, like the man in the Bible, how can they hear? How can they hear the call? It says that no one comes unto the Father except that the Holy Spirit draws them. But if their ears are still closed, it's like a spiritual deafness. I'm going to include physical deafness, but there's a spiritual deafness. How are they going to hear? And also a spiritual releasing back to the ability to worship. Back to the ability to worship. Loosing our tongues to worship as he originally created us to do. So I'm just going to pray, and I'm going to... Now, when we did this before, in our own group, Sharon had suggested that each of us say the word Ephatha. But what I'd like to do is we're going to we're going to do that. So I'm just going to read this prayer that I wrote here. So, Father, we are covenant people now. Welcome the absolute power, might, and authority of your name, Yahweh, which is above every name in heaven and on earth. And we welcome into our spheres, our lives, our bodies, and for those who need your touch, Jehovah Rapha, the miraculous, the signs and wonders that come with the power of your name. Father, we ask you to lift the veil from our eyes, our minds, our understanding, and loose our tongues, not only to speak as Yeshua gave an example of, and as the prophets did with the coal of fire on our tongue. We ask that your power now release every ear that needs to hear your name. Every tongue which needs to sing and release your praise. This, Father, is our primary original blueprint to worship the King of Kings and to release through our mouths your healing for those who require it. Your word, Yeshua, never returns void. It always accomplishes what it was sent out for. And we praise you for that. And we expect, Lord, we expect the goodness of our God to not only touch our spheres and loved ones, but our nation. And we commit these words into your hand and ask that you exponentially multiply the power of the spoken word and trust you, Lord, to bring praise, honor, worship, and glory for your name's sake. And so before we do the Yeshua Amen part, we're going to speak that word. So I'm just going to say it again so that you're able to say it just for yourself momentarily. And then, Sharon, I'm wondering if you can count us down as in 3, 2, 1 kind of thing, and then we're going to release that word out over our nation. So I'm just going to say the word again so we all got it, Ephatha. You can practice saying that there quietly to yourself. And then, Sharon, if you will go ahead, we're going to release this out. And again, Father, multiply exponentially the power in agreement. You said it, there's more than two or three here gathered. And whatever we ask in your name, Lord God, according to your will, it will be done. And so we thank you for that. So Sharon, go ahead.
I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to count us down. But I want everyone to unmute their phone. I want this to be a chorus. Of this word, the declaration from the mouth of the ones who've been given authority to subdue, have dominion, rule over. So all phones unmuted on 3, 2, 1. Say it.
Ifafa.
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 Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, in Yeshua's name, Father, receive that. We release the armies of heaven to take that and to multiply that across this nation now. Father, we commit it into your hands, and we thank you, Lord. Ears are opening up. Tongues are being loosed. Healings are going to flow, Father, even over our physical bodies, but our spiritual bodies as well. Father, in the name of Yeshua, we praise you, and we bless your name, and we thank you for it. It is done. Amen. Sharon, I read.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Open. It's open. They're open. Hallelujah. Back to you, Wade.
Wow. Wow, wow. Glory. You know, I said earlier it's going to be a powerful night. And we were going to be blessed. And Matt has got a powerful word, and he's going back to Sharon for prayer. And she'll end up doing communion. Maybe April will want to do communion. Her, the two of them can talk about it. But it's going to be a continued blessed night. So Matt Freezer, would you please come and bring us what the Lord has to say? And right after that, Sharon's going to prayer. And Sharon, would you please call upon Steve first because of his late hour before he has to leave when prayer begins? So Matt?
Thanks. You know, I'm just going to kind of, I didn't know exactly what April was going to bring. So I'm going to first talk about the transfiguration a little bit. Obviously, Jesus, Elijah, and Moses were all there and a bright cloud overshadowed them. And the voice said, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Comes back to that part of listening and getting instructions. Of course, they were afraid. They fell face down to the ground. And that's when Jesus came to them and he touched them. He said, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they raised their eyes, they didn't see anyone except for him again. It was an encounter between heaven and earth. And it really speaks to that time we're all stepping into. You know, for 2,000 years, political forces, religion, they've all tried to keep this thing under wraps. But it's out. It's coming out more every day. As Ian Clayton says, he is as close as the air we breathe. You know, April was talking about the name Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. You know, the very breath. Even Paul said it in Acts when he said, "For in him we live and move and have our being." And some of you poets, he said, "We are his offspring." I love that, his offspring. That makes us family. As April said, one blood. You know, if we truly understand our identity in him and what he did for all creation, we're all part of that blood. And really, our address is not always this physical address. It's that heavenly address. As the saying goes, home is where the heart is. So many have been battling from a place or position of disadvantage. Justin Abraham said it this way, "The enemy only operates where we don't govern." You and I can only govern to the degree that we grow our heart. That means we just have to let go of things that sometimes we're tethered to. We have to understand the things that go around us sometimes, some of the government things of man that are evil and corrupt. We just have to let them go. We can't change them in our own power or raise that standard because we'll just continue to go into a circle of frustration. Only God can change man's heart. And it's from that place, just as we just release something, that we learn to govern according to our relationship in him. Then we are truly seated in that heavenly position. It's a position of peace, not warfare. I love what Justin said. He said, as he, meaning Yeshua, is, so are we. You know, there's so many voices, so many things that are said every day. But the victory's there. Yeshua doesn't battle. If we simply step in, as April said, and we listen and we follow the Holy Spirit's instructions, he'll guide us. The Lord had me look at something last week. He said, you know, it's a lot like ground clutter. When you think of a radar on the ground, sometimes it's temporarily blocked. There's things that come in front of it where it can't project that signal clearly. And so it is when we bring anything outside of hidden into that picture. And right now, the stakes are way too high to follow anything but him. You know, we look at the transfiguration. James, John, and Peter, they just saw that glory. And in that moment, they really had no grid. They had nothing to compare it with. Peter, of course, stepped up as always, and he did his best to honor the Lord with his actions. And I think we all do that. You know, so much today is coming from that perspective. Just like Peter, you know, we try to bring things back in, and we do the best we can. But things are really changing rapidly now. So many are having encounters in eternity. And it takes time for us to adjust to the thinking. Just as Paul wrote, it's the renewing of our mind. It's a transformation. You know, when you go into that realm, it really transcends this reality immediately. We start to see there's no restraint. We're not shackled by time or warfare. It all operates out of him. His shalom is peace. And there's such an increase right now. You know, the Lord is really taking each one of us and he's expanding our vision beyond what we see in this natural world. And he's showing us how to operate from that position. Jesus also warned us to be careful during this time. In Matthew 24, when he says, watch out for doomsday deceivers. Many leaders are going to show up with forged identities. You know, when he says that, you can kind of see where the battle is. Because really, our identity should be focused on one thing. And I think these days are really going to be mixed even more than they are now. Because there's going to be so much happening so fast, many people won't be able to see that clearly. It will be ground clutter. But we have the ultimate solution. It's just our faith. You know, I love that passage of the lady who talked about the crumb falling from the table. Because she saw beyond all that. She didn't see her own visible limitations. She knew that she just needed to press in. She knew where the truth was. Even the crumbs would get her close. The Lord is just really saying, just seek me. Seek me in all things. You know, we're the ecclesia. We're the called out ones. We're really a function of his government. And Yeshua demonstrated that. I just wanted to bring one quick thing in again, which is the temple tax in 24, when Yeshua came to Capernaum and they asked the Lord about the drachma tax. Doesn't your teacher pay that tax? So Jesus spoke to him. He says, what do you think, Peter? For whom did the kings of the earth collect customs or these taxes? From sons or from strangers? Peter said, from strangers. Jesus said to him, then the sons are exempt. However, so that we do not offend, go to the sea, throw a hook in, take a fish out. When you open its mouth, you'll find a coin. The wonderful story and a wonderful miracle. But I think it demonstrates something very interesting about even Jesus at the time. He could have done anything he wanted right there, but he had the bigger picture in mind. He could have corrected the government of the world right there. But it wasn't about that, because his eye was on something much bigger. And I think it's an important lesson for us. We know the corrupt systems are all about taking control over everything. All the systems right now are trying to do that every single day. But we need to be focused on the big picture. Whatever it is he's leading us to do. The shakings all over the world doesn't mean that we need to roll over. It just simply means that we can see his kingdom coming. We know that these kingdoms are temporary. They have to run their course. And ultimately, his kingdom comes for you and I, will overshadow the earth. And it's becoming more and more clear each day. And just as we did, it's starting to take shape. The important thing for us to remember is that not to get ahead of the Lord in any of this. Don't let our passions or our own thoughts or things come in. We need to be very intentional about how we're followed. I love the question, what do you think, Simon? For the kings of the earth collect that poll tax. You know, from sons or from strangers. We are all sons and daughters of the Most High God. We need to make sure our position's there. Even Yeshua, when he was standing with Pilate, said, my kingdom is not of this world, but that kingdom is now coming. Paul Keith Davis wrote this. He said, in our day of destiny, we'll see the glory of God, but in order to see, we have to believe, just like those crumbs under the table. We may not always see the big things. We have to see and keep looking. Even the little things speak to you. No one could have anticipated Jesus' strategy, you know, when Lazarus died. It said he tarried for several days. And no one understood that. It was a stretch of faith for Mary and Martha, because they wanted to see immediately. They knew his power. But the Lord has a plan and purpose in all things. And he was preparing them, learning to tarry and learning to understand that it's how he moves that's important. Fresh and exciting things are coming to the whole world. Sometimes it stretches our faith so uniquely that we just can't see it until it's happened. The Bible foretells that the spirit of this generation will be as the one during the days of Noah. The scriptures portray Noah as one who found favor in God's sight. Through that divine visitation, God specifically prepared Noah for the unprecedented events that unfolded in his generation. That's where we are, too. There's no doubt about it. And only that supernatural realm can we provide and receive from the Lord that supernatural provision. Spiritual reality is that his resurrection power and the beholding of his God's glory is coming. You know, that simple coin represents something so powerful. You know, recently a group of us were all in the spirit, just staring into this deep pool and getting great revelation. And I saw Yeshua in his hand. He had that little gold coin. But I know it wasn't something that was to be released at that time. He was just trying to show me something. And all this came out of that later on. We're all being prepared. We're all being stretched. And we're all being brought into a place for his greater glory. You know, that gold coin speaks of his never-ending supply, which never runs out. As we learn to steward that, we start to minister as the kings and priests in the order of Melchizedek, which is out of the full supply of him. The Son is indeed exempt, but he gives out of his riches and love, and so shall we. I just want to leave you one more scripture here. In Hosea 6:3, the Lord put this on my heart. Again, he showed us in the Spirit. This is out of the Amplified Bible. It says, "Let us know and become personally acquainted with him. Let us press on to know and understand the fullness, the greatness of the Lord, to honor, heed, and deeply cherish him. His appearing is prepared and is certain as the dawn. It's right on the horizon. And he will come to us like the rain, like the spring rain watering the earth." You know, we become those receptors of it. We are the ones who are going to pour this out as we allow him to fill us. So, Lord, we thank you for all this teaching, revelation. We thank you for who you are. And, Lord, may our hearts be receptive to you. May we hear, see, and obey. Lord, you are doing mighty things in this day, and you're preparing us all. It's up to us to receive that which you want to give. You freely give. So Lord, we just want to praise you and honor you and just look forward to how you move mightily in each one of us. And the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, the Father, and the Son, get the glory. And we glorify your name by everything we do, and even the breath which we breathe. In your precious name, Lord, we just glorify you. Amen.
Amen. Powerful, powerful. Wow. This is a good night. Sharon, if you want to, you or April want to lead us in communion, if you all had a chance to discuss that. And also, you know, start calling on key people that the Lord gives you unction to for prayer. And please, like I said, include Steve first because of his timing. He's 3 hours later than most of us. So I turn it to you, Sharon.
Okay. That was awesome. Wow. This is amazing because, you know, Wade, you said it, it's going to be a powerful night. And I know that communion is the greatest inheritance that we could ever receive. And I just felt led of the Lord to read out of the Anna Mendez Farrell, "Eat My Flesh, Drink My Blood." And I actually was trying to figure out where it was, and I just felt like the Holy Spirit said, "Turn around." So I did, and it was right there, open to the page that I was going to read out of. So if that has been ever a confirmation. It's about the power of the blood. And this is called "The Blood Shed from His Side and Pierced by the Spear." He was pierced seven different places. And anything that God did through Yeshua was for a purpose. It was with great intention. She said, "Fellowship with the blood of Jesus is going to allow us to know him intimately. It will begin to transform us so we are able to penetrate the most sensitive parts of his heart. This is one of the greatest privileges to which a human being can aspire. God will only open this part of his being to those he considers to be his bride. The bride is the one who desires him above all." Isn't that what Matt just said? Isn't that what April was sharing? She goes wherever he goes. She follows him because of who he is, not because of what he can bless her with. She goes on to say that she had an experience in the church that she was ministering at. "It was during the first time I was caught up into the heavens I understood the glorious power of the blood of Jesus. I was desperately in love with Jesus and wanted to see him, touch him, love him with my entire being. My heart was dying to be with him in a different, deeper way than I had so far. suddenly when I was in worship, I was taken to another dimension. I was no longer in the earthly realm and surrounded by light everywhere. The light was alive and it moved as if doing a dance in which the reflections and flashes made it sorts of light effects before my eyes. Made all sorts of light effects before my eyes. Unexpectedly, from within the glimmering light, a glorious figure appeared that looked like the Son of God. I was before Jesus. This is interesting, but he does. Without a word, he extends his hand, and an enormous drop of blood the size of a melon appeared floating above my head. He said, "Drink." I opened my mouth and drank it in one big gulp. The second and third drop, the same size, showed up. He commanded me to drink them. On drinking the last one, I fell into my back and noticed my body had turned red. It was full of the blood. The Lord remained before me, surrounded by those shining lights. Then he made a signal with his hand. And a demonic creature appeared that immediately tried to climb on top of me. When the demon touched my body, from the blood within me, a consuming fire went forth and instantly destroyed it. I was dumbfounded. Then he made me get up. I was still full of that blood everywhere, inside and out. Next, he made some type of tissue appear before me that looked like a tumor. He said, "This is mortal illness. I want to show you the power of my blood upon it. Don't be afraid. Open your mouth and eat it." When I had done it, the tumor was burned up instantly. It came into contact with the blood. I was amazed. And he said, "Eat my flesh and drink my blood, because I will give you great victories against evil and against sickness." Then I looked and saw that from his body shone a fire that did not burn him. It was like looking at pure energy churning within his being. He stopped in front of me. I had my hands raised. He put his hands over my hands and his face over my face. His heart was pressed against mine, and he said, "The time is coming when I will come upon my people, hands upon hands, eyes upon eyes, mouth upon mouth, heart upon heart." In that instant, a powerful energy went forth from his body, his face, and his hands, and saturated me. I thought I would die. The force that penetrated me was so powerful that I thought I would burst right there. In that moment, my spiritual heart was pierced by that power, and an intense pain invaded my heart of flesh. It was only then that I returned to the earthly dimension. I felt like the Lord wanted me to read that, because that is a time that is coming, and he is preparing his bride. And Wade, you've said it over and over. You are here for the bride, ministering to the bride, reaching out to the bride. So it all falls in a beautiful line, doesn't it? Everything that the Lord is doing, it comes right down to his blood. It comes right down to his body. And what's amazing to me when I take communion, I think about how he went with his disciples. And it said, with gladness in heart, they partook. They went up to the Mount of Olives. He was going to give his life for us. He was full of joy to do it. And then he knew he was leaving behind the greatest gift we could ever receive, and that's the body and the blood. And so as we partake of the elements of atonement, lift up your bread, your representation of the body of Christ. Break it. This is the body. Representation of the body. Jesus said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." We remember you, Lord, and you remember us back. So we partake of the body that was broken so ours would never have to be. Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead and partake of the body. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord. Really, really focus on what you're taking. Really focus on what you're partaking of, representing the body of the Son of God Himself, our Savior, the one who redeemed us. Oh, thank you, Yeshua. And then he took the cup and said these words. He says, this is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you eat my flesh and drink my blood. You do proclaim my death until I come again. And as I was praying on the phone the other day, he showed me that the death is just this side of the resurrection. He had to die so he could be raised up. So we do partake of the body and the blood because of the new creation in Christ that we become through the resurrection. He knew he wasn't going to stay in that death situation. He knew what he came to do. He was determined, as must we be. And so as we lift this cup, this juice, this wine, whatever it is, this representation of his blood, he said the life is in the blood. So as you partake of the blood, receive the life of the Son of God himself. His blood merging with your blood, purifying your blood, destroying anything with the fire that does not consume him. Let that fire be in you. And partake. Lord, thank you for your body. Thank you for your blood. Thank you for your selfless act. We love you. That's the bride.
Glory, glory. That was good. All right. Well, Sharon's kind of stepped off for a second. We've got a few more minutes, and I want to call upon Steve Lufstra. Steve stays so busy, and he's 3 hours later than most of us, and 5 hours later than John. So, Steve, do you have a word or a prayer that you want to lift up for tonight?
Thank you, Wade. Actually, yes, I really do. And I don't need to repeat all that's been spoken, but I want to pray, but I want to base my prayer on what we find in Revelation chapter 19, where John writes, starting with verse 6, then I heard again what sounded like the shout of a vast crowd or roar of mighty ocean waves or the crash of loud thunder. Praise the Lord, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice, and let us give honor to him. For the time has come for the wedding feast of the Lamb, and his bride has prepared herself. Or in another translation, has made herself ready. And we all are understanding in one way or another that we are very close to that time. And I have been really heavy on my heart that we need to prepare ourselves. And that means that we need to cleanse ourselves and allow the Holy Spirit to search deep within us, even for those things that we think we've hidden away from Him in some manner or another. And what, as Paul said, the way we do that, Paul said, I die daily. I'm crucified with Christ, yet I live, not I, but Christ lives in me, and the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. And he later says, I die daily, every day, in order to be prepared for the coming of the Lord Jesus. As His bride, we need to die to those things in our lives, those anxieties, those things that we guard from the past or whatever it may be. So I just want to pray for us about that. Oh, holy Lord God, holy, holy, holy are You. Your word says that nothing is hidden from You. Everything is laid bare and naked before Your gaze. And so, Father, we thank You for that, even though it's uncomfortable and it's difficult for us. I want to pray for myself and for every one of us on this call and those who will listen in, that we would allow Your Holy Spirit to open up our understanding of what it means for us to die daily to those things in our lives that are part of the flesh and the world, that are part of our lifestyle or our way of thinking that needs to be changed and transformed by Your power. Lord, have mercy on us and help us to know how to prepare ourselves as His bride. Because, Lord, we want to be pure and holy and ready for Him. We want to be like the virgins who were prepared with their oil. Don't let us be taken by surprise, Lord. Give us eyes to see, and like Anna, who the Lord prepared, and she was watchful and waiting. And when He came, she was ready. She recognized Him. And so, Lord, help us to be ready. Lord, I pray Your mercy and the work of Your Spirit on every one of us in these days, that we will take this seriously, because You are coming for a prepared, holy bride. Have mercy on us. Give us grace. We thank You for the strength of Your Spirit to do that in our lives. And we pray in the name of Yeshua, our Savior and our coming King. Amen. Back to you, Wade.
Yes, sir. So glad. Appreciate it so much. James Timothy Turner, and honoring you as always, do you have something that you want to say or pray this night?
Certainly. I'll be happy to say a prayer, Brother Wade. Holy Father, we thank You this night for the blessing that You've bestowed upon us. We thank You, God, for the many things that You've done in our lives. We pray, God, that You'll make us better people, God, that we can serve You in the way that You would have us to serve You, Lord. We declare and decree, God, that You'll break the evil powers, God, that rule over our nation and the nations of the world. We declare and decree victory, O God. We declare and decree, God, that Your angels will go before us and prepare the way, O God, that You can establish Your holy and lawful and righteous government in our land. And we pray, God, that You'll allow us to be the light that You want to shine across the world, God, to lead the nations, God, and we pray, God, that You'll give us billions of souls, oh God, in the process, bring into Your kingdom. God, we love You for all the things that You've done. God, we thank You for the things You're going to do. And God, we honor You and we glorify You. Teach us to praise You and worship You in the way that You would have us to do, Lord, and help us, God, to draw closer to You in this time. A time of trouble is at hand, Lord, but You're going to give us the peace and the joy and the love and the forgiveness, God, that we need. We pray, God, that you'll bring the wicked to justice. But, God, if they repent, we pray, God, that you'll show them mercy as well. And, God, draw them into your kingdom as well, God, all of those that you can. And, God, we love you and we praise you and we honor you and we glorify your precious name. And we pray, Lord, that you will help us to be the light shining in the darkness you intend for us to be. And we give your name the praise in Yeshua's precious holy name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, sir. Robert Zuluaga, do you have a prayer or a word for tonight?
Good evening, all. Yes, I do. And I haven't heard John give any music. So I am going to offer the following. And its background is based in remembering. So here it is. Remember.
In the darkest hour, when I cannot breathe, tears on my chest, the weight of the world on me. Everything's crashing down, everything I've known. When I wonder if I'm all alone, I remember.
Played that piece of music. Wade, you started the call off talking about divine justice. You started the call off about decreeing, declaring, praying. And you talked about God's grace and His mercy. You actually talked about God's justice coming face to face with His mercy. As He begins pouring out purification and cleansing upon the planet, upon us, but the coming of revival. God has been bringing back to my mind this week, remembering His faithfulness through multiple times throughout my life. And I was having coffee with a friend this morning, and I just sat down before he arrived, and I just started journaling all of the things I remember of God's faithfulness throughout my life. And then the conversation with April went into tongues, and the cleansing of the tongue, the healing of the throat. Well, what God brought to my memory was I was involved in decrees and declaring through the New Age movement, through the I Am movement, the the decrees and prayers to, based on the ascended masters and my authority as a son of God and all this stuff, but what God brought to my memory was the purifying and the cleansing of a perversion of God's truth that I embraced for a season in my life. And as I remember his faithfulness, I'm struck by what your comments were, Wade, when you said, when you come up against God's justice, he says you come up against my grace. So Heavenly Father, I just I'm humbled to be amongst fellow sons and daughters of God, fellow brothers and sisters in you, as we press into you and seek your heart, seek your face. Be bold to declare in this time, in the face of absolute evil, your faithfulness, the power of your tenderness and your mercy, the fire of your justice, which is a two-edged sword. Lord, I thank you that you count us among those who listen to you, who hear your word, who spend time drilling down into your word, into your Holy Spirit, to listen to what you're teaching each one of us personally, individually, and how we can offer that as an offering to others who we come in contact with through the course of our day and our week. So I remember, Lord, and I thank you. I'm humbled by your grace and your mercy toward me. And that grace and mercy that you have extended to me, I know it's multiplied by your many children throughout the planet. So we pray, Lord, for the breaking of the back of this yoke of the devil. He's tried to enslave your people. We rejoice that you're a faithful God. Just as you parted the Red Sea, just as you fed the Israelites in the desert for 40 years when they were kicking and screaming all the way. We just thank you, Lord, that your plans for us are good, to bless us and not to harm us. And we give you praise and glory and honor in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen.
Amen. That was beautiful. Thank you so much. I love the song, too. John is doubling down next week. And Robert, I was going to ask you and Steve Lutzer and John if you all would bring the whole entirety of next Monday. I left it open. And I didn't know why. And I said, Lord, what am I supposed to do? And he says, well, John's doubling down. Steve's time is coming up, even though it's not going to be on an article, because that's going to be later. The article will be in later. But for whatever message he has and whatever message the Lord gives unto you, I would like for each of you to take the 30 minutes, 20, 25 to max 30. And then there's Bruce, and I always have to give him a little extra because he's a little wordy, but he brings this good stuff. I love it. I'd give him a whole hour. I think sometime I'm going to have to. But I want to divide up this next week's call between the three of you. And whatever the Lord puts on your heart is where we're going to go. I'll just do the intros. And Matt and I will take a break and then be back the following week. And counting on you all to bring a blessing if you will do that. Also, for everybody that I asked an article of, I was looking at the wrong calendar. I was looking at 23 January, not 24 January. You have an entire week. You have until next Monday to submit an article to me. It's just that I always start a week in advance, and I went, oh my gosh, it's got to be done by this Friday. This next Friday was when it has to be produced. But because of travel and anticipated works, I'm asking everything, articles be in by next Monday at the absolute latest. And this is the leap year. This has two Adars. It's very unusual. It happens on leap year, Adar 1 and Adar 2. So Esther's works was on a leap year on Adar 2. So there's going to be a little bit more blend in there, a little bit more of the ladies on a couple of days. So not going to be, like I said, not going to be the ladies' night anymore. It's going to be everybody's night. But it's going to be a powerful, powerful time that we have coming up. So anyhow, I would really like for you all to do that. Also, Matt, is there anything you'd like to say before we close?
No, I think we're good.
All right. Sharon, is April still on the call with you?
She is.
April, is there anything, comments or anything additional or prayer that you'd like to lift up before we're gone tonight?
No, I think I'm just in agreement with everyone.
Yeah, and we're in a good place. We really are. I want to thank everybody for your faithfulness. I thought it was a very anointed last night, tonight, and I hope all of you were ministered to as I was. And let the light of his glory come forth, because he's getting ready to do things that are far beyond our wildest imagination. And we're going to have to walk in his grace and his mercy as never before. We're going to have to listen closer as never before. It's a greater level. We're going to have to go deeper to go up higher. And we're going to have to be able to actually take immediate proactive steps to do what he says to do for your life and those around you. I bless all of you. Jim Carpenter, I pray that you would be totally healed and restored this night in the name of Yeshua, that your bronchioles will open up, your lungs will be cleared. David Pimbleton, I lift you up in the name and the authority of the blood of Yeshua, that your blood sugar will be balanced. And Lord, there's enough of this, diabetes in anyone. We cancel the curse of diabetes, and we ask that you would let it be done, that it be written in heaven, and that you would manifest your glory to destroy these diseases in every one of our lives. Stroke in mind, heart conditions, and others, sickness, disease, infirmity, attacks on our wives, our loved ones. Lord, let it come to an end. Bring your judgment upon the enemy. Your judgment's not meant for us. It's meant for the enemy. Bring your judgment on the enemy, for the Lord rebuke you. And let us have peace and rest this night for thy glory. Amen and amen. Thank you all for being here. I look forward to every day. And I look forward to next week for each and every one of you. And with that, I say good night, and we're going to turn off the recording.